the sky. We'll light it up, we'll take our time. You can ride my pony in the pale moonlight. You can ride my pony in the pale moonlight. Just ride my pony. Take your time.
That was Ride My Pony from Jerry Cerreras, My Favorite Sin. The fourth act is Pantheon's Empire in Ruin, Eviscerate, Desecrate, Cremate. The following content has a disturbing innuendo, so listener discretion is advised.
We'll be right back.
I'd like to shift gears to the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. Both BCIHL and non-conference teams were in action on January 6th. First with the non-conference Red Leafs as they continued their America Northeast swing, this time against the Boston College Eagles at Conte Forum in Chest Hill, Massachusetts, where SFU was quintupled 5-1, getting outshot 46-19, where the Red Leafs backstop saved 41 shots. I'm just going to look up the goalie for the game. Just bear with me here. Just a minute. The goalie for SFU was just looking at the Boston website. Just a minute, please. 46-19, and apparently the game was at Kelly Rink. Just a minute, please. Just taking some time. Sorry about the delay, but I just wanted to get the names right. That's all. So I guess I could not find just a minute, please. For some reason, I cannot get the game. Anyhow, yeah, the Red Leafs backstop stopped 41 shots. Meanwhile, the BCIHL's Red Leafs continued in the inaugural Tom Harris University Showcase at the Nanaimo Ice Center, the home of Vancouver Island University Mariners. SFU was crushed by the Korea University Tigers based in Seoul, South Korea, 10-1. Both BCIHL and non-conference Red Leafs returned to action on January 7th. The non-conference Red Leafs fell to the Providence College Friars 5-2, where SFU got outshot 61-10 with Andrew Henderson making 56 saves at Schneider Arena in Providence, Rhode Island. Later on, the BCIHL Red Leafs were shaded by the Concordia Thunder based in Edmonton, Alberta, as part of the Alberta College Athletic Conference 3-2. In the inaugural Tom Harris University Showcase at Nanaimo Ice Center, the home of Vancouver Island University Mariners, both SFU hockey teams went 0-3 on their respective road trips, with the non-conference Red Leafs in Northeast U.S. and the BCIHL Red Leafs in Nanaimo. There's an update on the score. There's an update for tonight's game, which was supposed to be between the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs and UVic Vikes. SFU Red Leafs hockey Twitter page just posted an update about 2 hours ago. The game has been postponed due to a mechanical failure at the arena.
Hey. Hey there, little buddy. Are you lost? No, it doesn't seem like there's a tag on you. Nor any markings. Are you a stray? Oh, you poor thing. Are you injured? I better bring you into the SPCA. They'll know what to do. Every day, pets are lost and found astray on our busy streets. Most animals belong in the neighborhoods in which they are found, and their guardians may be out looking for them. If you think you have found a lost animal, report the animal as found to the BC SPCA and let them know if you are willing to hold on to the animal until the guardian comes forward. If you're unable to hold on to the animal, please contact our BC SPCA Provincial Call Center at 1-855-622-7722 for a direction on where to take the animal.
Here are the current British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League standings. The Vancouver Island University are first at 8-3. University of Victoria, 7-3-1, 15 points, 2 points for a win, and with an OTL or shootout loss, 1 point each. Okanagan Lakers, 3rd, 6-4-1, 13 points. Simon Fraser, 4th, 4-3-1, 9 points. And Logan Lake Miners, last at 1-10, 2 points.
Hey, SFU! Getting money back for all your empty or refundable bottles and cans just got a lot easier. Just sign up for Returned Express for free. You can bag your containers, tag the bag, and drop it through the window at the new Express and Go container in the East parking lot. Return It will count your containers and credit your refunds to your online account. Learn more at returnit.ca/SFU.
On average, every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. The women in our communities deserve to feel safe from both emotional and physical abuse. They deserve men who control their anger. Most importantly, they deserve to know the people they love most will never hurt them. Men like me stand up to create a safer world for the women in our lives. And we're looking to men like you, the men who make up our communities, to join us. You can play an active part to end violence. Visit www.whiteribbon.ca.
Welcome back. The fifth group is Obscure Forms, The Infinite Unknown, with the title track. The following content has some explicit language, so listener discretion is advised. Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 5 years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. However, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded, as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e., Bill C-36, 2023, Police Amendment Act, 2023, where a key change is municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26. On November 16, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief, who retired last fall as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched its second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. 2 days later, on November 22nd, the Surrey Police Union submitted court documents alleging bullying and harassment by Surrey RCMP members in an attempt to become a party to the Surrey's petition to the BC Supreme Court, which wants to stop the transition from the Surrey RCMP to the Surrey Police Service. CTB reported on the SPU's latest court submissions on November 29th, when the SPU lawyer Sebastian Anderson claimed that 36 officers left the SPS due to the toxic work environment as the Surrey Police Service celebrated its 2-year anniversary of deploying its officers into the Surrey Police operations. The next day, on November 30th, Mike Sir, the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, in the first meeting as the SPB administrator, said he approved a provisional budget for the Surrey Police Service for 2024, which he forwarded to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke and Council the same day. Sir claimed the SPS 2024 draft budget aims to hire 180 more officers. On December 11th, Jas Johol, all show host for CKNW, tweeted a picture of a Patterson billboard between 60th Avenue and 176th Street, blasting the Surrey Police Service with the slogan, NDP Police Transition Will Cost You More, with the last 4 words in capital letters. On the middle are 3 claims. 4A, $466 million over the next 10 years. B, massive double-digit tax increase. And C, less for schools, health, and transit. At the bottom of the sign, it says, find more at ndpsurreytax.ca and paid for by the City of Surrey, which explicitly states the Mayor Locke and her council, led by her Surrey Connect, are using the Surrey taxpayers' money for their crusade to keep the Surrey RCMP, despite talks across Canada to get the RCMP out of contract policing. On December 15th, according to CBC's Bethany Lindsay, the BC government fired back at the Surrey City's petitions filed by the Attorney General Nikki Sharma and Public Safety Minister Mike Farnworth in the BC's Supreme Court, claiming the petitions should be moot as reversing the transition could create a policing void in Surrey that can spill all over throughout British Columbia, as Surrey asked for its RCMP detachment to be prioritized over others in filling its job vacancies. Reported by CBC's Bethany Lindsay on December 19th, when the Vancouver Province and Sun's Susan Lazaruk also reported on the BC government's response. 1,500 RCMP vacancies in BC, with Surrey being open to prioritizing its RCMP over vacancies in other detachments, among other things. On January 2nd, 2024, during the TransLink's press conference to celebrate the launch of Route R6, which connects the Scott Road Station and Newton Exchange. Locke, whose Surrey Connect has a 5-4 majority in the Surrey City Council, justified a $500,000 cost to fight the Surrey Police Service, which announced there are now 345 officers, 58 civilian employees, for a total of 403 employees on the same day, according to its Twitter page. The next day, on January 3rd, Linda Annis of Surrey First also slammed Surrey's $500,000 campaign, according to CTV Vancouver and The Voice. On January 5th, Gordon Hoekstra and Katie DeRosa of Vancouver Province / Sun reported on a Surrey-commissioned poll by Ledger done between November 30th and December 13th, 2023, which found 46% of respondents supported keeping the Surrey RCMP, while 29% supported the Surrey Police Service. However, when 505 residents were asked after Surrey provided the following information, which rebuked the SPS for not being able to hire enough officers, 67%, keeping the RCMP and preventing the SPS protect funding for existing services, taxes affordable, 65%, Surrey's estimate of replacing the RCMP with the SPS cost of $464 million over the next 10 years, 64%, and with Surrey residents elected a mayor and council to keep the Surrey RCMP, 63% were strongly against the police transition. Once again, the latest survey from Surrey regarding its police transition, which the Mayor Locke and her Surrey Connect are dead set against, involved 505 residents in Surrey, which had 568,322 people in the 2021 Canada Census, the last census in Canada, to which Surrey claimed to be an undercount of 3%, and projected the city's population to be 603,970 in 2022. Thus, the latest survey commissioned by Surrey is likely a very poor indicator of what the residents think of the Surrey police transition. Fast forward to January 11th, the Surrey Police Union revealed Surrey rejected paying 10 recruits, which drew another rebuke from the BC Premier David Eby, as the city cited the SPS went over budget, according to its lawyer, Peter German, to which the Surrey Police Board's Melissa Graham countered the 10 hirings were within authorized staff levels, up to the authorized strength of 346 officers in 2023, where the SPS now has 344 officers, 218 deployed into police operations, and 56 awaiting deployment. Surrey's refusal to pay the 10 new SPS recruits, which forced the Surrey Police Union to pay them, also drew condemnation from Save Surrey Coalition councillors Doug Elford, Mandeep Negra, Linda Annis of Surrey First, according to Bo Simpson of Surrey Now Leader. According to Elizabeth McSheffrey and Catherine Urquhart of Global News, also on January 11th, Surrey's lawyer, Peter German, a former RCMP officer, claimed on December 19th, the SPS was provided with a $48.7 million in their 2023 budget, but exceeded by $23 million. The SFU spokesperson, Ryan Burrick, learned on December 27th that the 10 newest hires were not added to the Surrey's payroll, which forced the union to pay them. Mike Farnworth, BC's public safety minister and solicitor general, described the situation as beyond the pale, obstructionist, suggested Surrey's refusal to pay the 10 officers as a violation of labor law and lacks common sense decency. Thank you for listening to episode 2 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.